Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. The Bible says, "But I keep under my body, my God, help us." Paul. God used Paul. Paul said, "But I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, my God, oh, God help us." What a way to wrap up this fast. What a way. "And bring it into subjection, lest that by any means," I'm feeling like a Pentecostal charismatic preacher, even though I'm a Baptist preacher, "what's happening to me? Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And we have been sharing just some words to encourage you in the matter of fasting over the past 21 days. But I want to say something about this passage in more detail. You may be seated. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said something about this passage, and I want to share that with you. And so did Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zook. This is a passage that we have read many times before, and we need to touch on it today on this day of wrapping up a 21-day fast. In other words, Paul is saying here, "I control my body. I don't let my body control me." In other words, he practiced self-control. He did not allow the desires of his flesh and the things he wanted to do in the flesh to dictate to him what he was going to do. This is the essence of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. We cannot call ourselves disciples if we don't practice discipline. And I will be the first to admit to you, and by the way, let me say to you that God will speak to you when you first get saved about health matters. And God will speak to you. You may not be hearing him after a while, but God will be speaking to you about health matters. God will say some things to you. I recall one time when my wife and I first got married, and I think the second child was here, and my dad and my mother, my dad was still living, and of course the grandchildren, the babies, just loved my dad as all of us kids did. My dad and mother came. And my mother began to see the rotundity coming on my body, like my dad. My dad was heavy too. My mother struggled with weight as well throughout her years, but somehow she beat that thing down. And right now, my mother is in her 70s, and she looks like she's in her 50s. She probably want me to say 40s, but I can't. I must speak the truth. She still looks young. We as blacks, we always like to say we got some Indian in our blood. And my mother was born in Apalachicola, Florida. And my grandmother, Mother Tempe, on my dad's side, was almost full-blooded Indian. Till the day she died, she had long black Indian hair. My dad's hair stood up on his head like the Indians. And on the Cherokee side of things, my mother was born in Apalachicola, Florida, so there's some Apache Indian in her blood. And so we age well. We age well by the grace of God. But some of us die early because we eat too much. And so my mother lovingly told me, and I, you know, being young and brash, I didn't listen. She said, Danny, now what you need to do is lay off that meat throughout the week and only eat meat on Sundays. I said, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And of course, I didn't pay any attention. Young and brash and thought I was the picture of health. And but I should have paid attention, but I didn't. And so God will speak to us, particularly when we first get saved. Many of you got saved and somehow you got interested in health food stores. Where did that come from? You got interested in fasting and apple cider vinegar and all kinds of things like that. Where did that come from? God had spoken to our hearts, not only about our spirits, but about our health. And I had an old girlfriend back in high school. And we had done wrong together when I was lost, and we had a baby out of wedlock and so forth. And so my pastor, when I first got saved, told me, son, you need to go back and try to make that right. I said, well, you know, that's in the past. And yeah, I know it's in the past, but there's a child involved. You need to go back and try to marry her. And he showed me some verses. I felt out of context, but I went ahead and followed his advice and went back. And we sat down at Glen Burnie Park, and I tried to talk with her about getting together, you know, maybe getting married and raising our child together. It was the right thing to do. And she looked at me and said, why are you doing this? I said, well, I got saved. She said, you look different. And she said, your skin is so much clearer than what it was, and you're brighter than what you were before you left. And what had happened, I got saved, and I started eating differently. I started eating more vegetables and going to the health food store. That's when I was turned on to, at the time, GNC in the mall near Keesler Air Force Base. And I started going into the health food store regularly, buying health food things. I had never done that before. Eating differently, eating beans and rice and no meat and stuff like that. And so my whole face cleared up, and I looked brighter. And that's what happened. All people who fast, you know, your face just like a light turns on in your body. And she saw that. I said, I'm not Moses or anything. I just got saved by the grace of God. She said, but you look so different. And then she said, well, why are you doing this? I said, well, my pastor told me that I need to do this. And, you know, and this is the right thing to do. And then she looked at me. She said, look at me. She said, do you love me? I said, I made a mistake as far as romance is concerned. I said, I love you with God's love. She said, no, I don't want God's love. I want your love. I don't want God's love now. I don't want to say all that. I said, I love you with God's love. I didn't know the word agape at that time. But whatever I was talking about, she was not hearing it. When the black woman starts, you pretty much, it's pretty much done. And so that didn't work out as my pastor wanted it to. But I want you to notice, but she noticed that my whole face had changed. And it's not only because of salvation in the Lord, but it was the Lord had changed my diet. And so God will speak to your heart about it, and we ought not to resist that. But Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I make my body obey me. And by the way, that's much of how life is. Amen, somebody. As a Christian, is you having the power through Christ to say, no, I am not going to sexually harass that fine woman. No, if that's your temptation, because that's my other temptation, is fine, voluptuous women. And every day I have to say, no, don't say that. It's, no, don't try to do that. Don't do that. Because God is not going to bless it. God is not going to be pleased with that. And you don't want to get under God's chastening hand. And so I say no. Same thing, but I have not said no with down through the years to food. I deceived myself into thinking that was my reward. That was my celebration point. And I overdid it. And God, in a very loving and soft fashion, dealt with me about it and said, I want you to deal with this in the church, not only in your life, but in the church life. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, Paul was fond of athletic images and ideas and used them often in his letters. The Corinthians would have been familiar with the Greek Olympic Games. Knowing this, Paul used a metaphor very close to their experience. An athlete must be disciplined, amen, somebody. We as Christians must be disciplined. And when we have pot bellies, big rotund butts, huge shoulders that are not muscles, big fat flabby arms, like we are a big fat turkey taking on wings. Big fat thighs that rub together as we walk into Walmart. When the preacher is fat, when the deacons are fat, and their wives are fat, and the entire praise team is fat, the sons of Judah are fat. You say, well, who are the sons of Judah? The sons of Judah is a praise team that I saw one time in a church. And about four or five big, old, obese fellows. They were praising God. They were doing the right thing. But they were showing no mercy to the floor. The floor went like this right here. I saw literally the floor. Almost, I mean, it was bending, okay? These things are not so to be. And it just so happened that that floor was built over a baptismal pool. said, "Preacher, how do you know that?" "Because I got baptized in that pool when I was a child. It's hidden under the pulpit. Oftentimes, 60% of the choir is obese." And I know folks don't like for me to say that, but that's the truth. And we're guilty of the sin of gluttony, Christian sin of gluttony, which has been accepted and provided for, justified, and accommodated. He goes on to say, an athlete must be disciplined if he is to win the prize. Discipline means giving up the good and the better for the best. The athlete must watch his diet as well as his hours. He must smile and say no thank you when people offer him fattening desserts or invite him to late night parties or late night fellowships. There is nothing wrong with food or fun. And there's nothing wrong with wine, by the way. But if they interfere with your highest goals, then they are hindrances and not helps. Amen, somebody. Only one runner could win the olive wreath crown in the Greek games. But any believer can win an incorruptible crown when he stands before the judgment seat of Christ. This crown is given to those who discipline themselves for the sake of serving Christ and winning lost souls. They seek, or rather they keep their bodies under control. And I want you to understand, the main reason why I want to see the sin of gluttony crushed in my life, because see, that's the root cause of overweightness, obesity, being fat, and all of the bad stuff that comes from it, diabetes, and all the bad stuff that comes from that. It is the sin of gluttony. We're eating too much. And as we age, we're eating too much for our age. Our body cannot handle it. And that's why we get diabetes and other diseases. But that's not the main reason why I'm doing this. And that's not the main reason why I'm dealing with the root cause, which is gluttony. I'm doing it because I want to be a good testimony to people I try to witness to and that I preach to. And I want the church to be a great witness and a good witness for the Lord in front of these people as well. It is disturbing when a group of 300 to 400, some cases 500-pound individuals get together around talking about praise the Lord and pass the donuts, and nobody acknowledges, pun not intended, the elephant in the room. Or shall I say, the elephants in the room. Now, that's disturbing, and it has. Now, that has disturbed me. And I'll be honest with you, that has disturbed me more than my individually overindulging myself. That we won't even acknowledge it. I hope you understand what I'm saying to you. I was with a group of Christians. Quite frankly, it was disgusting. Now, I do not think I'm at the obese stage, but I am overweight. But I was with some preachers who were, and I hate to say it, nastily obese. Woo! Nastily obese. I mean, just fat flowing, rolling all over the place. To the point that it was futile to try to get past the person to get into your seat. And then the other person over to me, beside me, He was not obese, but he was overweight like me. And 60 to 70% of the preachers in that room were overweight. And we're all here trying to get more information about ministry. And we can just sit here and listen and talk and laugh and joke and eat all the snacks that the people provided for us and everything else. In fact, somebody, thank God for the people, they provided some snacks and they put some hummus and some cucumbers and hummus and celery sticks and carrots. And a big old fat fellow in the class was like, "Man, what's this mess right here?" What happened to the donuts and things they had out there? I guess the people felt, hey, my soul, we have some elephants, some rhinoceroses instead of Christian leaders here. Let's get some celery sticks and some carrot sticks and some hummus. And one of the preachers tried to educate the fat preacher and say, hummus is good for you. Man, it's good. The celery stick, this is the kind of food we ought to be eating. And he said, man, I need me some chicken wings. I said, what? And all I'm saying, let's at least acknowledge there's a problem in the church. And the preachers, the fat, rotund, elephant preachers are leading the way, the stampede. We're not lining up with what Paul is saying here. They keep their bodies under control and keep their eyes on the goal. Amen, somebody. In recent years, Christians have rediscovered the importance of personal discipline. And that's true. Recent years. And the relationship between a disciplined body and a spirit-filled life, and I will add, a good testimony before a dying and lost world. Because the world has been very gracious to us, as we have been very gracious to one another, by not saying the obvious. We need to stop getting together before we learn another method of soul winning, another method of how to get past 200 members and all other such stuff. Let's have a powwow about overeating and the sin of gluttony in our lives as Christians, as saints, black and white. It's not just a black problem. It's a white problem too, big time. One of the greatest preachers in the history of America, one of the most dynamic preachers in the history of America, and he has admitted it, and he has tried his best to fight it, is obese. He is a quintessential preaching machine. He is the idea that comes to your mind when you talk about a preacher. And I'm not going to call his name. It's not T.D. Jakes. But he could lose a few pounds too. And I'll just go ahead and say it. John Hagee. And his son is a preaching machine. Very few people can shuck the corn like John Hagee. He can flat get it. And yes, I still love hearing him preach. He's fired up and ready to go. And he loves Israel, and I love that. the author continued, we must, of course, avoid extremes. On the one hand, religious asceticism is unhealthy and of no value spiritually. But on the other hand, there is something to be said for disciplined eating, exercising, and resting, and a spirit-directed, balanced life. And I'm not talking about putting a band around your stomach. You're cheating. And you're not dealing with the core problem. You're not dealing with gluttony. You're more concerned about your looks. I'm not talking about freezing some fat off with a wrap, smoking some fat off, whatever you're doing. Just you need to stop eating so much. We smugly congratulate ourselves that we do not smoke, we do not chew, and we don't walk around with those who do. We pride ourselves in not using alcohol, but what about our overeating and our rotundity beyond what should be normal for your body type? Overweight, fat, obese. The curse word that most fat people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear from their doctor. They don't want to hear from anybody. And many Christians cannot discipline their time so as to have a consistent devotional life or Bible study program to boot. Martin Luther said of fasting, I say this, it is right to fast frequently in order to subdue and control the body. I like it. Can somebody out in internet land say amen with me? For when the stomach is full, the body does not serve for preaching, for praying, or studying the Word of God, or for doing anything else that is good. My. Under such circumstances, God's word cannot remain. But one should not fast with a view to meriting something by it as by a good work. That's what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther, the reformer. And so as you are, dear friend, wrapping up your 21-day fast or your 14-day fast or what have you, remember these words. You can also listen to over 150 podcasts that I did on fasting at prayermotivatordevotional.com to encourage you. Not only now, this last day, but when you go back to intermittent fasting, which will help continue to break the stranglehold in the hole in every chain that gluttony has on your soul and spirit, the sin of gluttony. When you get to the prayermotivator.com, click on the fasting edition link. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to get to the day 21 days of fasting to break the hold that gluttony has on us. And we are thankful to your skinny saints who did not have to go on that fast with us. They have overcome this sin and this issue. And we thank you for their encouragement and their help and their example. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us of our sins of gluttony, and help us to truly confess it and to repent, and help us not to commit the sin of gluttony throughout the holiday season, and to get back to a fasting mode, intermittent fasting, 2 days a week, or maybe 1 day a week, or two meals a day, or however you want us to do it on an individual basis. Let your will be done. We thank you for what you have done and what you're doing and what you will do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen.